Welcome to Session 3 of the Leaders' Conference with Jonathan Dyke. Step into the Word of Life.
Brilliant. No, that's you. Isn't it amazing how we say amen, and maybe we don't always realise that it means I've just owned it? A bit like that. I think as this day has kind of gone through, I've just got a bit more excited than usual. And I think I remember one day I wasn't excited. It was quite a long time ago now. It was only for a short period of time. But the way that I kind of dealt with it is I reminded myself of who I wasn't. And sometimes when we're in leadership, everybody else wants to do that. Have you noticed that? Well, you're never there for me. You don't love me. You just don't. Sometimes you might be on the other end of somebody else's lack. Man, you're not taking me anywhere. You don't pray for me. You don't believe for me. You don't wipe my nose when it's runny. You don't wipe my bottom when I fall over. How many of you know that sometimes as a leader, you've got to remind yourself of what you haven't got? Don't let somebody else do that. You let the Spirit of God do that, and you do that in the presence of God. Because I can guarantee when you get to the end of the list of what you can't do, He will replace it with what you can do. Your congregation may not do that. Your leadership team may not even do that. Even sometimes your spouse won't do that. But God will always do that. He will always allow you a download to dump stuff. So, God, I'm rubbish. He says, I know, but it's all right. He'll say, man, I tried it and I keep failing. He says, do it this way and it'll work. We can download our what we can't do list to God and immediately it'll change it. I think one of the skills in the spirit that leaders have kind of lost is a skill of trusting in nothing. There's too many books, there's too many programs, too many t-shirts where this is how you lead church. You can't lead church without the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. It was never designed to be done like that. It's not going to work like that. We must be inspired. Man, I spent the last couple of years unlearning stuff. Technique, principle. Man, there's only one principle that I think is going to work. Would you like to know what it is? Okay, forget it. I'll come back next time and tell you. Would you like to know what it is? Yes. You need to find out where your Horeb is. Man, you've got to have one of those somewhere. You've got to have somewhere where only you can go and you will find God speaking to you every time you visit. You've got to find a Horeb. You've got to find that place where you can just be who you are in God, whether as a man or a woman, and you're influenced by the Word of God and nobody else's. Amen. Not by media, TV, this internet, Facebook, Spacebook, Bebo, Avago, none of that kind of thing. Somewhere we've got to separate our spirit, our thinking, so the only influence we have is the voice of God. Man, we've got to develop that, cultivate that. The world that we live in is totally different from how it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's just different. It's just not the same. I mean, technology has made the world flat.
That's right.
I'm also having conversations with people in Australia, New Zealand. It's like you're just talking to them in real time, real situations, but they're 12,000 miles away. The world is flat. We can't lead church out of flat. We've got to have something put into our thinking, into our lives for tomorrow's church. Amen. If we only live out of flat, we're living out of yesterday. And I know you're here for all kinds of reasons. Some of you are here because you thought Pastor Colin was going to be here. He's not. Or is he? Hello there. Some of you probably thought, oh, well, we're going to have an amazing time, you know, Kingdom Faith, this, that, and the other. I don't give a monkey's uncle about Kingdom's Faith. But I am interested in the kingdom of God. You might be a bit offended by that. Well, sort it out. Come on, do yourself a favor and let it go. Hallelujah. Oh, he said that and I didn't like it. We're not here So just make you like it. We're here because God has invested something in our spirit. And I like to tell you, I'm not going to let it go until I see it. Now, I don't just mean I'm going to faith it up. He's out there one day. My prince will come. He's come. It was on a donkey. Hallelujah. It's not, oh, I'm going to wait for a rainy day because you'll have one every day. Unless it's here, in which case you get snow, but that's fine. I couldn't believe it this morning. I looked out my window and I thought, praise God. We've driven 262 miles to get away from this. And it's following me. And I looked out of my... He loves it. It's like... I looked out my window and I thought, God, this isn't funny. God said, now listen to this because this will blow your mind. God said, doesn't my word come like snow? I said, yeah. He said, the word over this region is so new, so fresh, nobody's walked on it yet. Oh, wow. Hello there. It's getting a bit spooky now. He said, when you look out on the window of the life over this region, my word is on it, but nobody's walked on it yet. Wow. He says, one thing to look out the window and see it's there, it's another thing to walk on it. So I put my clothes on over my pyjamas. I do it a lot. Saves me changing them. And I'm a bloke, okay? You can wear your t-shirt for 4 days. You turn it inside out and then turn it back to front. It's brilliant. If you're under the age of 20, you know exactly what I mean. Hello. But as you look out over the vision of your congregation, whether you think it's good, bad or indifferent, man, if you've got a word from the Lord, you've got to walk on it. Yes. You cannot just look out the window of your life and say, I've had this word from God. Well, so have I. And I want to step on it. I want to walk on it. I want to feel it crunch under my feet. I want to see if it's going to support my weight. But let me tell you this. As a leader, you've got to make the steps so someone else can walk in them. So I got my clothes on and I went running out to the car around. It's like, oh, praise God, it's a new word falling on this region. I love it. And I'm walking all over it. And I looked behind me and I knew how to get back. Yes. But I also knew where I hadn't been.
Yes.
That's how we're supposed to lead church. You look out the window of where you are, and it might be flat, it might be successful, it might be a failure, it could be anything. You say, I'm going to walk on that. I'm going to walk on that bit because nobody's been there yet. I'm going to walk on that bit because the snow isn't here just to look pretty. It's here to walk on. Your word comes like snow. What does snow do? It comes and it permeates the earth over a period of time. Rain's different. It just comes. It changes it immediately. We need both. But at the moment, we need the word of snow. It's just a saturation. I believe God is saturating us as people today. There's something that's come upon our leadership, our ministry, our anointing that's kind of new, it's fresh. If not, then why are we here?
That's right.
Matt, we don't want to come and leave the same, do we? I don't want to go home the same as I came. Man, I want to go home not just fuller, but faster and leaner and more determined than I was when I arrived. I mean, it's downhill driving back. We need to get it back quicker. But we need a horrid place. We need a place where we step out into the snow of life, if you like, and find God there.
Hallelujah.
Man, you need to find it. You need to secure it. You need to occupy it. You need to push through everything you can to find that place. Because when you found that place, the only thing you'll find there is God.
Come on. Yes.
Not strategy, vision, program. Oh, we've got this vision thing. Brilliant. But we've got to find God. Yes. If those of you that watched the streaming the other evening, Wednesday, you know, this whole vision evening, it's great, wasn't it? You know, it's great technology and it's all great. I'll tell you what, the thing that you heard was 1%, maybe 5% of the snow. It was a bit of what God has laid out in front of us. I don't believe it was a vision for kingdom faith. I believe it's a vision for the church. Amen. For your church. Because you're here today, you're part of us. But when you leave, you're still part of us. Because if we cultivate this horrid mentality, it's not just, well, I'm doing it this way or I'm doing it that way. No, we've got to do it your way. That was good. I'm going to change my mission to entertainer. There's one there. It says shoot twice. They just like shooting up here. It's brilliant. I'm going to find that one entertainer. I'm going to circle that. So I want to be an entertainer. There's a guy that I know. He's been a bit poorly recently, but he's a tremendous ministry. A man called Winky Prattney. Have you heard of him? Man, he's done 35 different aspects of God, and one is an entertainer. Ah, so be careful. Artist. Entrepreneur. Anyway, nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about. The snow has come on this region. I believe that another aspect of snow is that we're all here, which means we've all got to touch it on the way out. Even if you live in this place, even if we live in this physical place, it's still touching you. It's still affecting and influencing how you're going to live. And as a leader, we've got to get out of this mentality that, man, I'm not going to go unless God tells me. Sometimes you've got to go and he tells you on the way.
That's right.
We can't just wait until there's a whole host of heavenly angels come here with chariots and sledges and huskies. But we can't wait until there's a whole load of angelic beings before we get persuaded. I'm going to go and begin to train up, release others in the way that Pastor Paul was. I'm going to release sons in the house. Man, you can't just switch that button on. We've got to wake up in the morning and say, who am I going to promote today? We've got to wake up in the morning and say, who am I going to lift up today? We've got to have an attitude of, if I come into a room with someone, when I leave it, do they think I'm great or do they think they are? That was good. Write that one down. Or we just spend time with people and we leave it. And some of you might love this, in which case you've got to get this sorted, okay? You might love this reality that when people come for you for ministry, it's because they think you can do it. Leadership must be about empowering them and know they can do it. Isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Man, I've kind of got a bit tired of spending years and years and years trying to convince people to do what God says they can do already. I realise the only way to do it is grab them by the hand and say, there's a bit of snow out there. It's the word of God. Let's go and have a go. And you hear the crunch, crunch, crunch. It's like, oh my God, oh my God. Good. At least they're asking the right person. Oh my God. Brilliant. When I say that, he's listening. Who's listening when you say it? Isn't it the same God? You might be in an oh my God situation. Let me tell you, if you know where Horeb is, that's the best thing to do. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's oh, there's kind of a sense of there's nothing else I can do. Brilliant. I think sometimes we just want to know too much.
Yeah.
We just want to know too much of what's going to happen. How's it going to happen? It's like, oh dear, I don't know what's going to happen. Great. I think that's where we need to be.
Hallelujah.
Middle word, my. God possesses me. I don't mind being possessed.
Good.
I want to be possessed by God, don't you?
Come on.
Well, I don't want career, ambition. I don't want ministry to possess me. I want to be possessed by the God of Horeb.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to be possessed by guilt or shame or fear or it's global warming. Look out the window. It's really hot. Hello. Global warming is a myth. Says me. I know how it ends. Don't fall down, oh, well, I'm this and I'm that. No, we just to be sons of God. We need to know how to plug into the Father's heart. We need to know how to come under the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to know how to push through all of the program and the technique and the style and just there's just you and there's just God. That's it. And we need to be safe there and long there. That's all we need. We don't need all that other stuff. Now this is going to shock you if you come out of a religion called denomination. Well, let me tell you, kingdom faith is a religion called denomination. It's just we don't call it that. I can say that because I'm part of it. But why am I saying that? Because it's God's heart to increase our number daily.
That's right. Come on.
When I go to Horeb and say, God, how many people do you want to change today? He says, I want to change somebody else except you. Because he's already changed you. He's already changed me. He's already saved you. He's already saved me. He's already given you a kingdom. He's already given me one. He wants to do something through you, not to you. And sometimes as leaders, we kind of get into this kind of funny, you know, you've got to give me something, God. He says, I'll give you a door. There you go. Off you go. Hallelujah. I've given you people. Come on, get on with it. I've given you a vision. God has given us everything we need to get it done. The possible reason why we're not kind of seeing success is because we trust in all those things he's given rather than the power to live out of them. Surely the greatest gift that we've been given is the gift of God himself. Isn't it? Would you say that? Man, this might sound, this is a bit duh. Well, duh's just read backwards. Huh. This might sound a bit... It is as well. This might just seem a bit... This just might seem a bit simple. But can I just suggest that that's probably because we made it too complicated? You see, I've got a degree in engineering. I know how to make things work and I know how to blow things up. Some things don't change. But the principle does. Why? Because the principle I lived in when I worked for Ministry of Defence was to destroy, kill and steal life. You might have heard somebody else does that. That wasn't me. But this process of engineering and kind of blowing people's up is, I want to blow that thing up that's between your ears. In the Guinness Book of Records a couple of years ago, it wasn't in there, but it should have been. It's this. The fastest journey in the whole world is in one leader's ear and out the other one. That's why you've got to say amen and stop it halfway. You can say, yeah, it's like we were hearing just now. You, there must be somebody else around you you want to be like other than you. Man, who wants to be you? There must be someone that loves people a bit more than you do. Well, be like them. There must be someone who loves God a bit more like you do. Don't sit there and say, well, there's nobody like that. That's pride. There's loads of people I know that just love God more than I seem to and follow God more than I seem. Man, I want to be like them. But how do they get like that? They know where their Horeb is. They know where their life comes out of. They know where their leadership comes out of. They know where the anointing comes from. They know where the program comes from, and it's not from a book. It's through the inspired heart and passion of God being filtered by Spirit into our very limited thinking. That's what it is. Let's put it all in perspective. God isn't interested in building your church. He's interested in building his kingdom. He's not even interested in just leading your people. He's interested in leading you. He's interested in leading who you're leading because you've got responsibilities. Great, but there's a tremendous anointing comes with responsibility, let me tell you. When you plug yourself into Horeb, you get two things, I think. One is we get recognition. We recognize, oh, I can't do anything outside of God. Great. But let me tell you, God says, that's all right because I've called you. We've got to get a mutual recognition that if it's just me, if I'm the only leader here, then I'm the best person for the job. You might be sitting here thinking, I don't know why I'm in leadership. I don't know either. Get over it. Because I've had to accept this reality, maybe some of you have. If I'm in it, then I'm in it to win it.
Come on.
If I'm here, I'm in it to release. I'm here because of the call of God. I'm not here because I was an also-ran or I won the lottery or lost it, depending on the view. I'm not here because somebody else left or died. I'm here because of the call of God.
Yeah.
Now, we don't say that with any pride. It's just like, that's it. It's me. Hello. Because we've got to deal with that in our Horebs. It's like, God, there isn't anybody else. He said that I don't need anybody else. If you let me use you, you're enough. You can do it. I've put you there. There's a few nods, and if you're falling asleep or not. If you do, something is about to hit you. In love, of course, it'll be wrapped up. In wrapping paper saying, with love. And it'll have the word duck on it. And by the time you've read it, it'll be too late. We need to find... Mate, you got a mad bunch here. Today, and over there. God, it's spreading. All right, Essex, lovely. So, yeah. So today, I think, for some of us, certainly for me, as I kind of praying this morning and just listening to God, is I think we've got to learn to see that less is more. I don't just mean we go around with the faith chat, because sometimes we get that wrong. We say, I've got to decrease. No, you haven't. He's got to increase. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he increases, so I decrease. And sometimes less is more. I think maybe sometimes we need to invest a little bit less energy and kind of organise stuff for God, and a bit more energy in letting God organise stuff for us. Is that all right? Now, I know some of you are kind of tied in and you've got certain roles and responsibilities, but let me tell you, you are more important than your program to God. You always were and you always will be. You're always closer to the heart of God than your program ever will be. Even if that program has 100% come from God, you're still closer to Him than that. And sometimes as leaders, I spent half of my year spending hours with people who you've got to sit there and convince, why am I here? I don't know. Don't know why you're leading 10 or 100 or 50 or why you've done this or done that. What I do know is God's going to use you if you let Him. God's going to use you if you just stop trying. God's going to use you more in the next 10 years than He did in the last 10 because it's different now. What I know is that in our situation, which means our situation, you might think, well, I'm not part of you. You're here. You're part of me. There's only one church, isn't there? I don't care what your address is. There's only one church. I don't care what your address is. Minister in Europe, all over the place. There's still only one church. And God is saying the same for all church. So stop trying and let me do it. There's a difference between trying and doing. We can try really hard. God just does that and it happens. Why? Because there's a supernatural grace. You see, we read the book of Acts and we think, God, I wish I was like that. You are like that. We are ordinary people that have spent time with Jesus. Yeah, but we're not getting the results. So look up there and think, oh, I wish I could do that. You're not supposed to. He's supposed to do it through you. What we're supposed to have is, I can't do that. Brilliant. That's a good place to start. I can't do that. Lord, you need to use me. Guess what he'll say? Amen. He says, I can't do any of that. He says, all right, I'll do it through you. Do you want me to do it through you? Absolutely. Then stop it and let me do it. Amen. Well, I never get the opportunity. That's all right. I'll make it for you. You can't plan opportunity. If we did that, we'd miss it. In Colossians, it says, make the most of every opportunity. It doesn't say, oh, I'm going to pray for a divine one. All my opportunities, like yours, are divine ones. We fulfill the Spirit. They've got to be, haven't they? Every person you speak to, every decision that you make in God is a divine one. Every time you release in power, give permission to someone, it's a divine one. It's got to be. You are a spiritual dude. Or dudette. Which is kind of like a pipette, but bigger. In our kind of season, and this has been going on for a year or two, and again, those of you that listen to podcasts and downloads and stuff, You would have heard that God has been very clearly speaking to people while they've been in their horrid place. And you would know, members of the eldership, Pastor Clive and others have set time aside just to have nothing around them apart from God Himself. And just like the men and women of the whole Bible who do the same thing, when they come out of that, they're different. As a leader, you're supposed to be different. Don't conform to your tradition. Don't conform to your history. Don't even conform to your intellect or education. If you meet God, it'll change it. He'll change your intellect. He'll change your ability to learn, to process. He'll change it if you want Him to change it. Don't limit the limitless one. That's why we've got to come hard and say, that's it, I give up. Everything. Me thinking, me planning, me ability. God loves it, but man, He loves to use it more. Is this making any sense to anybody apart from Brian? Brian's from Scotland, everything doesn't make sense that he says to me. I don't know, anyway. Gift of interpretation, hallelujah. But over these last few months, we've really been, again, on a natural level, you're thinking, you know, this is a bunch of loonies. I don't care being a loony. See, I told you. I'm going to give you such a slap. This is a true story. Just hold that last thought. Okay, Brian said amen. Just okay, hold that. It's in the States a couple of years ago. A whole atheist organization, because they said, oh, it happened in America, bless it. But they filed a court case against religion. And their case basically was based on Christianity and Islam and all these other things have a special day. But as an atheist, I don't have one, and it's not right. I've got equal rights, religious rights, human rights, all the other kind of rights. So they began to sue the government there, the local government, the governor there. He was the judge, and this guy came and started his case, and the judge stopped him halfway through, and he took his gown off, and he said, actually, I'm a Christian, and I just want to say this. You've got your own day. You've had it for years. It's called April the 1st. It's true. He said, there is no case to answer. You've had this day for an atheist for centuries. It's called the 1st of April. It's called April Fool's Day. And they threw it out. And that's true. It was in the state of Georgia. It's true. It can only happen in America. But outside of your life, outside of your city, you've got a bunch of fools. You've got people who think today's their day. It's the Lord's day. And somehow part of our leadership is we've got to be fools, but not to the foolish. We've got to be fools for God. We've got to kind of step up to God in our Horebs and say, okay, God, there isn't anybody else but me in my workplace, in my business place. Okay, then God, use me. Use a fool. Use a donkey. You can talk through it and you can carry a king on it. So use me. Use a donkey if you want. All right, John. Stop mumbling. That's really rude. Please say it so we can all hear it, or we'll shut up. One or the other. Janet, it's all right, you married him, you get to take him home. Sorry.
I said they'd prefer it if he was me.
Yes. In Isaiah 54, we read there, sing, O barren woman. And again, I'm going to kind of repeat stuff that other people have heard, but what does it mean? It means, man, we've got to look outside of our now, outside of our potential that we think we have, outside of the fruitfulness that we think we have or not, and even outside of our size. How many of you know that most people only sing when they've just had a celebration or they've just had a drink? Well, I believe if we drink enough of the Holy Spirit, you'll be singing all the time. Why is it that we're some of the most miserable people on the earth? We shouldn't be.
That's right.
And yet somehow our faith hasn't lined up with our spirit. And there's a ministry of sellotape goes on. If you want to participate, you get some sellotape, you put it into that length, you tear it off, you put one bit there behind your ear, and one bit there behind your ear, and that's it. We don't need sellotape. Stop it. We don't need sellotape. If we develop this Horeb, I can guarantee you that every time you leave the presence of God, you'll have a smile on your face. You'll have something in your spirit that nothing can squash. You'll have something on the inside of you which you refuse to let go of or be quiet about. I can guarantee it because that's our God. That's God. Don't go to God saying, oh, it's a real burden, it's a real burden. Well, give it to Him then. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Yes, He does. He was there before you. Well, you don't know the people I've got. He jolly well does. You were one of them. Hello. Come on. We've got to run out of excuses for getting it wrong. and start to download a list of why God can make it right. Oh, well, we can go through them all. That's what I'm saying. The first thing we've got to do is say, God, I can't do any of this. Great. If you have to name them, name them. But I'll tell you what, God will forgive you for them, and then he'll forget them. That's it. List gone. Goodbye. Toast out. See you again. Never. And instead, he'll say, yes, you can. I've called you for such a time as this. Man, that'll make you sing. Not only have I called you for this time, but this place. And if it's not just this time and this place, it's also this people. You'll know if it's real or not because your sound will change. What comes out of your mouth will change, as with me. Matt, I've even tried and I can't diss our church at all. I love it. I love being part of our church. I don't love everything all the people do, but man, I love them. I'll die for them. I'll give up sleep for them, because I do. I'll give up time for them, because they're such a great bunch. You're such a great bunch of people. Man, you can change anything. You can be anybody that God wants you to be. It's true. The only thing that stops it is us. That's why we need a hurry. Because I can't do any of this. Great. Then leave. Different. Maybe for some of you, you may have been struggling away. Okay, it's only January. Maybe you've had some New Year's resolutions. Hello. Goodbye. Maybe you've made some. Maybe you haven't. I really don't know. But let me tell you, we've got to find a friend in victory. And who's our friend called failure? Because who you walk with is who you become. Part of us, maybe part of you, I don't want to be personal, but maybe we've just forgotten how to win. Maybe we've just forgotten what it tastes like, what it sounds like, and what it looks like. Well, you need to start gathering a few people around you that get stuff done. They may not be your leadership. They might be people that just love God and they love you. And they'll not just give their mouth to you, but their hands and their feet as well. Because that's the only way of knowing. We don't want a bunch of yes people. We want a load of do people. Yeah. We don't want people that just say yes and don't do it. Man, I'll sooner have a load of people that moan and groan, but they do it. Well, that's the kind of people Jesus wanted, wasn't it? He said, don't keep coming up to me saying, yes, I'll do it, yes, I'll do it, but you do zip. Just get on with it. Sometimes we want to invest in people that maybe they just do something nobody else sees, but man, they do it. They've met with God. They've downloaded something from the Holy Spirit. They're not doing it just in the natural, but they're looking beyond it. They're looking out the window. They're looking at the anointing, the way God's using them, the supernatural. You see, we can't lead the church through technique. It's got to be done supernaturally. It's the only way is a supernatural church. The book of Acts is about one story, another one. Someone just turning up at the right time, at the right place. It's like someone just knowing what God would do and doing it. What I love about some of these characters, and Horeb is a good one, if you look at the whole transition from Moses to Joshua, okay, remember that one? Joshua became like a son to Moses. I know that because Moses laid hands on him and gave him twice as much as he had. Elisha became like a son to Elijah. How do I know that? Because he gave him twice as much as he had. If you look at the book of Numbers, that's the sign of a firstborn son. Hello? Get a double portion of the inheritance because it's their right. Sometimes we only live out of one, and God's given us two. There's an anointing for you as a person, and there's an anointing for you as a leader. There's an enabling for you to be saved, born again, have a destiny which will never be stolen, and there's an anointing to lead others. And we try to live out of one instead of living out the other one. So we started to sing. Over these last months, we've been singing over a lack. We've been singing over where there's nothing happening there, but we know there should be. We've been singing over geographical areas where we know something should be happening. Well, guess what's happening? Something's coming out of our womb. Oh, there's no womb in the womb anymore. Hallelujah. That's what we heard in the first one. There's a breaking of the water. I don't know. It sounds nicer to me, but anyway. All I know is something's broken. And it isn't us.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
But let me tell you, it's only broken because we were. Which is why we need the Horeb. Lord, I can't do anything. Lord, it's you or it's nothing. Lord, I only want you and nobody else. There's got to be a breaking before there's a breaking. This is what happened with Joshua when he started to kind of prepare the people. Man, he had to meet with God afresh. Thankfully, earlier Moses laid hands on him and empowered him in exactly the same kind of way. Fortunately, Joshua knew how to hang around in the presence of God when Moses had gone. We need to learn how to hang around a little bit. Soaking it up after the meeting's finished. We need to learn how to just soak up the supernatural when it's finished doing what it's here to do. Supernatural is more than miracles, it's lifestyle. Somebody supernaturally just... The miracles are normal, like we're here and here. It wasn't something that they did, it's something that they were. Something that you and I have been called into is a life of the supernatural leadership. Where you talk about those things that aren't as though they are and you create them when you do it. Where you raise up people who nobody else would bother with, but man, they're called of God. Yeah. Well, you begin to step out onto the snow when nobody says it's too dangerous. Great, I love it, dangerous. I'll tell you, who wants to be safe? There's a book, a guy called Paul Stanton, you probably know of him, Scanlon, Abundant Life. And one of the things he put in his book called Crossing Over, which we read years ago, was, is your church too safe? What did he mean by that? Well, I'll give you an example. If you can go into sound check, music check, hosting check, whatever kind of checks you do, and you can leave your coat on your chair and not expect it to be nicked when you get back, it's too safe. If you can leave your car unlocked in the car park, because it's a brand new Audi A8 or R8, if it is, I think the Lord's saying, give it me, hallelujah. Not really. Lamborghini, yes. But if you're leaving your car out and your clothes out and all this, all the things that are valuable to you, if you can leave them in your church, it's too safe. Because, man, we weren't here for the saved. We're here for those who aren't saved. Man, our church's got to be a bit more dangerous. It's got to be a bit more, hello, what's going to go on next? In other words, it's got to go a little bit out of our control. Oh, Lord. Hello, we all say, oh, Lord, but come on. Yeah. We just got to do something with it, do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that we're reckless, because in that supernatural is supernatural wisdom. What I'm saying is, come on. Who are we here for? One of these things that we've been encouraged is enlarge the place of our tent. Does that mean Faith Camp's going to be bigger? Yes, it is. But it means more than that. It means we've got to spread out. We've got to be very intentional, very definite. Man, we're going to move from a 4-berth to a 6-berth. We're going to do it on purpose. But we're not going to be picky. I know those other people are. We're just going to have more church meetings. No. We want more kingdom meetings, more supernatural meetings, more meetings where God can do what he wants to do in the way he wants to do it. We don't want meetings for the church, but for the unchurched. We are the people who've met in Horeb. We want other people to see the effect. That's why Pastor Jonathan was saying earlier, our front row now is nuts. I wouldn't want to leave my wallet there. It's good. I don't mind if you do. But I won't want to leave mine there. We've got to step into the danger zone. And that will only happen when we press into God and find that actually he's dangerous. That's not disrespecting God. But man, you don't know what God's going to do. We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to know what the Holy Spirit's going to do next. We're just supposed to do what he says. And sometimes we've made it kind of safe. And how we've made it safe is because we don't really want to lose control because we're in the Spirit. Well, if we were, then we would. Because in the Word it says, if we're really controlled by the Spirit, then we are sons of God. What does that mean? It means we let go, he doesn't let go. So maybe our leadership program, our star, maybe we just got to put it out on the vista of the view out the window and say, Lord, I don't want to step on the bit that you've given me. Just don't do stuff because it's there to do, or because you did it last year, or because you've got to do it next year. No, we've got to find the heart of God. For some of us, again, I suppose, speaking from every person here, as I've been singing, you know, over our congregation, over the relating churches, leaders, a whole bunch of people, I'm getting kind of texts, Twitters, emails from people saying, God, man, we had such a hard time now, and suddenly it kind of just is springing up a bit. Or, you know, we weren't seeing a lack in this area, but suddenly it's just drip, drip, drip. Well, let me tell you, a drip always precedes a flood. Don't enjoy the fact that you're getting a drip of blessing. Just know there's something greater coming around the corner. And as a leader, guess what? It's going to hit you first.
Hallelujah.
If you find your Horeb in God, that place where everything outside of you stays outside, and all you take in there is yourself, your hunger, your passion, your honesty, your openness, your thinking. Man, I'll tell you what, God will match you. If you give your heart, he'll give his. If you give what you think, he'll give what he thinks. If you give some time, he'll give some time. It's a kingdom principle. What you sow, you reap. If you give up your program, he'll give up his. Come on. If you give up your money, he'll give his. Matt, I'll tell you what, God will not be in debt to you or me. You give up your future, he'll give you his. We've got a whole bunch of young people in the college at the minute. They're feisty. I love them because I don't know anything. The hardest people to talk to Jesus about are people who think they already know who he is. Probably true. I'm more interested in how much he knows me. I want to know that he knows me. So we started to sing. We started to see some results, some great testimonies, healings, miracles, financial provision. One lady's, I don't know, she's probably in her late 40s, maybe early 50s, had an issue since she'd been a Christian about thinking that she was never worth anything. You would have thought it, would you? No. The Holy Spirit began to speak to her and said, actually, I think you're worth something. Otherwise, I wouldn't have given you everything that I've given you. She took a decision to step out on the snow of that word, if you like, untrodden before. You know, she'd heard it, she'd seen it, she'd perceived it, but this time it's like, no, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to step out on that and I'm going to begin to speak to this situation. I'm going to deal with it. And suddenly the supernatural grace came upon her. Not only did her perception change of who she was, but a gift of 10,000 euros arrived in a letterbox the next day. Hello. You can't work it out. All you can do is get God. About 2 weeks ago, unsaved gentleman had a head-on crash in the snow and broke his pelvic bone. Snap-o. It's funny, isn't it? Our bodies are designed for certain things, but not hitting a stationary vehicle at 60 miles an hour. They're just not designed for that. He's back at work now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's not even saved. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, he's asking questions.
Yeah.
He's going through a quandary. It's like, this is foolish. Local hospital said this. Consultant said that. But it's not right. It's only an opinion. He had another opinion. Christian lays hands on you, God's going to do something.
Yeah. Come on.
Hallelujah.
It's just he chose to believe in the second opinion more than the first one, which is why he's back at work. But he's not saved, but he's touched. He's made himself an idiot, because now he's walking around saying, hello, I don't know what's happened, but look. Sometimes as a leader, that's all our life should be. I don't know what's happened, but just look. Imitate me. I don't know how it works. Just look. I don't know where we're going. Just come along for the ride. I don't know what it's going to mean, but let's go. Hello. No, we've got to sing a little bit, enjoy a little bit, shout a little bit. We've got to, I think, kind of feel pint of the labour pains a little bit. Oh, come on. I think we've got to feel that a little bit. But not go around grunting and groaning all the time. I mean, in a horrid place where we're kind of working stuff through, it's like, come on, I just need a, what does that mean? Because I tell you what, you'll leave it changed. Everybody that encounters God leaves marked for life. And I believe as leaders, man, we want to rejoice in heaven covered in marks. But I'll tell you what, they'll be like medals. They're not marks of defeat, they're marks of victory. They're not marks of failure, they're marks of success. You're not destined to fail. You weren't born into a failure culture. You're born into a successive culture. Jesus, when he was on the earth, was raising up successors. Who will succeed me, sons? How do you know they are? Because they're like the Father. How do you know that? Because they're like the one who came from the Father. We've been singing. God's been enlarging. We've been kind of holding on to God a bit. And he's kind of been going somewhere. We've been trying to keep up with him. There's been a spreading going on, not just around here. I take hold of that. He lets nothing go to waste. I actually put... I went to a funeral on Monday in my old church. They let me back, which is really nice of them. And I wore the suit that I got married in. Oh! You know. Do you know what? You were the last person I thought would have said that. I thought it had come from over there. Matt, there is a reproduction process going on in the house and I know where it's coming from. It did fit. Thank you very much. I sang some really high notes for the whole day. But it did fit. I never bend down to pick anything over. But it fitted. Now, the point was... Thank you. It shouldn't have done. Because I'm not there now. I'm not that person now. I'm not doing that now. When I got married, I was an unsaved, unregenerated yob. You don't have to believe it. Sometimes we put on leadership like a suit. This is how we did it last time, we'll do it again. Don't. This is what worked last time, let's do it again. Don't. This is what kind of fitted last time, don't do it again. We're not supposed to wear an old suit, we're supposed to get a new one. Don't try and fit with your history, fit with the future. Don't try and fit with yesterday. And don't try and fit tomorrow around it either. Man, we've got to change tomorrow.
That's right. Amen.
Not be changed by it. No. Don't revisit the old cupboard of books and old tapes and old messages that really impacted you then. If they impacted you then and it was real, they should still be impacting you now.
Yes.
I think there is a place when we're supposed to look back with the right kind of attitude, but come on. As a leader, you need to be looking at today and tomorrow, not yesterday. I was actually a bit ashamed that my suit fitted still. I said to Janet, man, I've shrunk. She says, you have on the outside, but not the inside. I know, there's going to be a bit of arring going on. She said, you're not the man I married. I'm not. But next week, I won't be the man that left this week. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm on a journey. I don't want to be the same next week as I was last week. So we've learned to sing. We've learned to enlarge our thinking a little bit. We've learned to enlarge our spirit a little bit. Man, I love faith projects. I love it. Because all you've got is God. That's all you get in Horeb. I love it when the numbers don't add up. Because God's better at maths than us. I love it when the potential that God has put in his word, we're not reaching it yet because it means there's more that we can see. Man, as a leader, one of the things that I love is seeing people live beyond what they thought they could do. For me, one of the biggest disappointments when I was first full-time in the college is a student left and it was said of them, they got great potential. Go away. I don't want them to have great potential. I want them living in it. I don't want them to possess it. I want it to possess them. Don't live with someone that's got potential. Live out of it. Express it. Talk up your vision. Talk up your people. Lift them up a bit. Don't ever say a negative word about people that are leading near you. Don't. Whether they hear you, whether they don't. Because every time you do, it's, man, I should have done that. You'd have to put it right. God establishes men and women around leadership for a certain reason. One of them isn't to have a go at them. It's not to have a bunch of yes men around them either, because there's that same spirit kind of at work. I mean, I love it. I don't always agree with Pastor Clive, and I never will. I'm not him. I don't like Arsenal. I don't like football. It's a girls' game. I'll just qualify that. How many games do you know where you're paid £1 million a week to kiss each other when you score a goal? That's it. Hello.
Preach it, brother.
Come on. Woo, rubber. What I'm saying is, You might have people around you that are potential leadership. It's just they're not like you. Actually, I think that's good. As long as they got your spirit, as long as they got your heart, they don't have to be like you. I mean, God forbid, who wants a load of me's? Who wants a load of you's anyway? No, we've got to be raising up leadership that actually are thinking a little bit quicker than us and are believing God a little bit more than us, because they're about the future, not about the past. And God is very good at putting people in place years before he's going to do something. That's what happened with Moses and Joshua. Moses laid hands on him and imparted something to him years before he came into his own role. But let me tell you, we'd set him aside. I think in our thinking from today, we've got to start thinking, right, in a couple of years' time, God said, we've got this ministry, right, who's going to do that? I'm going to give them some time. I'm going to invest in them. They're not in that role now, but man, they've got the call of God. Invest in people's calling. Not their history. Invest in people's future, not their past. Man, I've been kind of having to relearn a whole load of stuff. People, we all make mistakes. That's the one good thing that we're all good at. But God's changing it. As we're singing, as we're enlarging, as we're rejoicing, as we're delighting in God, as we're celebrating one another, as we're promoting. Yeah, I know God raises up the humble, but let me tell you, he needs your help sometimes. Just to encourage people, like I said, that when people leave you, they think they're great, not just that you are. And people think, ah, actually, I can do that, not just, well, he can do that. That's the kind of heart and the kind of spirit which I believe you've got. Thanks for that. You should have grabbed that one. That one's gone straight over that really nice banner called Faith Working Through Love, and it's bounced back, so I'm having it. Hello. Man, if you don't agree with the Word of God, unfortunately, you're disagreeing with the Word of God. What was it? Was a bit in the middle? That we could kind of go home and think about it. It's like, is that me or not? No, it's us. We're here because of the call of God. We're here as people of influence and authority in the house. We're here with responsibility, with that authority. There are certain things that only you can do in God, and there are certain things that only you can't do in God. But let me tell you, it's got to be God. But it's got to be supernatural. It's got to blow your mind. Man, sometimes I write down stuff, and I do it deliberately. I just go off on one. Maybe after time of prayer, I just worshipped a bit. I just go off on one, and I write down and think, oh man, what is that? Some of it's me, some of it isn't me. The bit that's me, I know what it is because it's how I kind of think, but the stuff is like, I never would have thought of that. That's the stuff I want. I read a new book every week. Why? Because if I don't, I'll become one. Just never read. People don't want to hear about your future. They want to hear about your history. They want to hear about your future. It's true. I want to read a new book every week. It's like, oh man, look at that. Look at this book, the Pastor Johnson. Oh, man, I want to get that. That's brilliant. Man, I want someone to read my life like a new book. Not, well, oh yeah, he's insignificant. He's just there. There is nobody that's just an anybody in your churches. They don't exist in the body. There's nobody that's nobody in your congregations. Everybody in God is somebody. The great thing about God is he takes nobodies and makes somebodies out of them. He takes nothing and gives them everything. It's just nuts. This is the church. I believe it's supernaturally inspired. It's supernaturally motivated. It supernaturally enlarges. I believe it has to be supernaturally led. It doesn't just mean, oh, we're full of the Holy Spirit. We've got to have a supernatural vision, perception and activity. We're not just doing the odd miracle. No, we're miracles happening everywhere. Out as it comes. It's not like, I'll get the pastor, I'm feeling sick. No. I'm speaking life and health and vitality over these people. I'm speaking miracles over them, good atmosphere over them. Man, when they leave my presence, they're going to think they can rip a lion's head off. Because you'll have to. You see, people are supposed to come to us to get equipped to win. At work, at home, in the marriage, in the singleness. That's what they come to us for, so they can go and rip a lion's head off. I like the one about the bear, you know, big paws. Oh, man, we got to know how to kill bears. Yes. But sometimes we got to work with someone that's done it. Yes. Not just petted it. It's all right. It isn't all right. If it's not from God, let's get rid of it. Let's deal with it. Let's get it sorted, because there's more to do. I've been speaking for an hour. I'm really getting bored now, so I'm going to stop. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Yeah, we know that. Thank you, Lord, for telling me something I know. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to... I love that. Everything God does, he does on purpose and with purpose. I think that's how we need to be a bit more. Just don't do it for the sake of it. Fill a space. Fill a pause. Whether it's a big one or a small one. But we're doing it because there's a purpose in it. And the purpose is God. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, it does not return without watering it, making it blood, making it bud and flourish. I love that. Somewhere underneath what you can't see, something's going to bud and flourish. I believe when we walk on it, it happens with us. We become part of it. If we step out into the snow of life, into the Word of God, we begin to bud and flourish. I think as leaders we're supposed to. So, making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sown, bread for the eater, is a whole other message. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish. We've got to get rid of this thing. I've got to accomplish it. We can accomplish zippo without the word of God. But when you've got it, it'll work. All you need is the word. All you need is a Horeb. God, what are you saying? He'll tell you. God, what are you doing? He'll show you. How are you going to do it? He'll empower you. And that's the supernatural. And achieve the purpose for which I sent it to. You will go out. I used to go out with a girl called Joy once. But it's a different kind. You will go out in joy. In it. Where's that girl from Essex gone? In it. She's not here. You'll go out in joy. I think you need to get up every morning and have a laugh. I do. You got loads to go on, have a laugh. It's like, I'm going to do it in joy. I'm going to have a laugh. I'm going to make myself laugh. I'm going to make my emotion tie in with my call. I'm going to make my face reflect what's on the inside of me, not what's happening on the outside of me. Man, I'm going to have a laugh. I'm going to tell myself something funny. Or I'm just going to laugh because I want to. But man, I'm going to go out with joy. Here she is, in it. In joy. And be led forth in peace. That's your horrid place. And I tell you, we might just go and have a prayer time. I'm not talking about a prayer time. We might go in our closet. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about who you find when you get there. I'm talking about what you take in there and what you take out of there. I'm talking about that place where it's just you and God. The presence of God, the glory, the majesty of God. I think God's a bit fed up with us just singing it and not experiencing it, encountering it, being touched by it, being transformed by it. But that's not today. Today it's changing. Today it's changing because we're here. But it's changing because God is here. It's changing because this is another step on the journey. If some of us maybe it's a step out on that kind of vista of life which is covered in snow, it's like, how do I do it? I don't know, but I don't know the Holy Spirit is here. I do know that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is here. I do know that God wants to impact our lives and impart something to us. I know out of my spirit already, you're kind of getting provoked a little bit. I can't help it. I'm really sorry. I'm not like this normally. It's true. It is. You'll be shocked. When I have a bunch of people working for me for a few years, and we used to kind of just spend time together, they say, why are you so quiet? What do you mean? You're not like this normally. I said, this is me normally. You're surprised, aren't you? Me too. I'm always surprised. If it was down to me, I'd be sitting with you. But it isn't, because you've got to step up to the plate sometime. You've got to step up to the mark sometime and say, Holy Spirit, you've got to do it now. But it's not just about talking to people, it's about being with people. I believe God wants to impart something fresh and new in all of us. With me, I'm hearing all of this for the first time. So hello, I'm sitting with you in a sense. But I'm also having to respond to it in the same way as you. I'm having a kind of, okay, deal with that. It's like, man, I'm going to have to go and try that. I'm going to have to go and sort this out. I'm hearing what you're hearing. One of the biggest differences is I've realised if I don't do something with it, I've deceived myself, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Man, there's enough deception outside. I don't want it on the inside. So I believe God wants to impart a spirit of faith. Now, I know in one sense, we've read Corinthians, like, by that same spirit of faith, I also believe and therefore speak. But if we're not speaking, it's because we're not believing. One affects the other one. One releases the other one. But let me tell you, if you have a load of people around you that listen to the way you speak, they'll speak like you do eventually. Hello? They'll begin to think a little bit like you. They'll begin to react a little bit like you. Well, hello, that's called leadership. Yeah. We're supposed to be like that. We're supposed to reproduce after our own kind. The question is, what kind is your kind? That's right. I believe it's time for a new kind. Supernatural kind, people who know how to meet with God and know how to carry God's presence out into the world. So people are not looking for credibility, they're just looking for God. It's the people that are not just hungry for a promotion or position, they're hungry for God. I believe that's the kind of people you are, otherwise you wouldn't be here. And I believe that's the kind of people God wants to empower. He wants to take the ordinary. He wants to take the normal. There's nothing normal in you. Not anymore. If you're born again, if you know Christ, then I'm assuming you all do. If not, you can. If you have the Holy Spirit, I'm assuming you all have. You're not normal. You're living above your weight. Sorry, back to weight again. I'm really sorry. But you're living above your weight. You're living above your culture. You're living above your education. You're living above what you should be living above. You're living above your age. You're living above your experience. You're living above your history. You're living above it because God put you above it. Come tomorrow, you'll hear a bit more about that. It's about living above the average and changing the averages. God wants to touch you right now. Next 10, 15 minutes, some of you are going to get set free. Some of you are going to have your brains taken out and just gone flipping out. I never saw it like that before. Brilliant. I don't care what God does. As long as it's God. For some of you, you're going to get healed. Why? Because he just likes doing it. I don't deserve it. Oh, we all know that. That's why it's grace. Hallelujah. Some of you God, are just going to get a bit refired. Some of you maybe should get fired. I really don't know. That's up to God. Hallelujah. Holy P45's coming down. Hello. I don't know. But I mean that in the sense that, man, we've got to give up leadership as a job. Yeah. It's not a job. It's a call. Wait, sorry, Paul. Paul's nodding off. It's almost time. Hello. He said to me over there, he said, you've got a really hard one. People be falling asleep. Who's the only person falling asleep? would you like us to leave? Sorry? Okay. So who's up for that?
Yes.
Three. Oh yeah. Shooting's twice in there. It's alright, it's blanks. So as you probably have perceived, man, I'm really excited about God. I can't help it. I'm not apologising for it. I'm really excited about what the Spirit of God is able to do. But I'm more excited about what he wants to do. And I'm even more excited about what he wants to do through you. You represent tens, hundreds, thousands of people. And God's got enough. But God wants to impart faith. What's that mean? It's just, you just know. You just know. You don't know how you know, you just do. You don't even know what you know, but you just do. Because it makes your confidence in your competence. You missed that one, that was really deep. It makes you confident in your competence. He has made you competent as ministers of the gospel. But we need confidence in that competence. So, Pastor Paul and Kate and Pastor Jonathan, we're going to come around and pray for people. And God is going to zap you, blow you up, change your brain. I really don't know what he's going to do and I don't really care. But I know you're going to receive because everybody receives. These guys might bring a word over your life. Great, it's like snow. Just walk on it, all right? Don't just think, oh, what does that mean? What does that mean? Don't dialogue with the word. Just say yes or say yes. Don't say, I'll take that away and wait and test it. You won't need to because these guys will get it. You'll get it. You'll know it's right. You'll know it's right because the Spirit will say, come on, hello, wake up. Is there anybody in there? Is that okay? So you ready? We don't need any keyboard or music or something because he's kind of, who needs that? When you've got the Holy Spirit, the rest is brilliant. All right. Just made you redundant for the afternoon. Give us a fiver. Okay, so we got loads of space here, and it seems kind of a waste not to use the carpet. They have paid for it now, so it's brilliant. So, if... Now, please, I'm not putting anybody under pressure, but I do believe the Holy Spirit might be. All right, and that's his job, not mine. But I just believe if you've kind of been... anything, it doesn't really matter. You just know, man, I just need this faith. I just need this confidence. I just need something fresh. I just need to step out into something new. Then I just want you to get up straight away and just come out here. Whether you're the senior leader even, or whether you'll just come as a leadership, God wants to infuse, impart, release something out of his anointing to you. It's going to be fun. It's going to be kind of interesting. I guess probably the only people that aren't responding are dead. Or they just can't. I really don't know. Now, one of the things that the Lord told me when we came up is anybody that comes is going to go home with more than they came with. So whether you responded in this way or not, you can still receive because it's supernatural. You know, the laying on of hands is just like a token. It's just like a contact point. But as these guys go round, man, just receive. Is that okay? Do you want to close your eyes? It all goes dark, but it's fine. It's all right. Nobody's scared of the dark. Just close your eyes. It's brilliant. And just thank God right now. Just express. Make this kind of a little bit of a Horeb time. A Horeb time. It's like, God, just express what you need at the minute. It's all gone quiet. Come on. We're all friends here. We love you. Just express what you need from God right now. It can be anything. It doesn't really matter. God will match it. God will more than match it right now. Come on, it's just you and Jesus. It's just you and God. Everyone who comes to the Lord leaves with their hands full, not empty. Everybody. Even you. Even me. These guys, they're just going to come round as they're led. And they're going to pray and they're going to speak words if I have them. They're going to release something supernatural over you. That your life's going to be different from today. The way you think's going to be a bit different. The way you speak's going to be a bit different. The way that you see God use you is going to be a bit different. We're not interested in how you, or even if you fall down under the anointing, I'm not interested in that. If you do, it's fine, but I'm more interested in how you get up than how you fall down. Is that all right? All you got to do is receive. You can receive standing up. You can receive on standing on your head for all I care. But just receive this gifting, this gracing, this impartation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Off you go, guys. Go for it.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.